and welcome back to Your Favorite Album, the podcast where we sit down with someone and say, hey, what's your favorite album? I'm your host, Adam Santiago, and joining me this week is my buddy, Jesse Martinez. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Adam, how's it going?
Pretty good. Thanks for being on the show. I like to just jump right into it and go ahead and ask, hey, what's your favorite album?
So I think mine's a little weird, because it's the Crow soundtrack.
Great movie.
I was thinking about when you were asking me what it would be. I was thinking about it, and like, I was like, maybe it's Siamese Dream. I was like, no, it's not Siamese Dream. Maybe it's The Fragile. Maybe it's like Disintegration or Blood of Flowers. And I was like,
wait, which is The Fragile and Blood of Flowers? Who's that?
Nine Inch Nails is The Fragile.
Okay.
Blood Flowers is The Cure.
Oh, okay.
And so I was like, man, maybe it's this, maybe it's this. And like, it all led back to The Crow soundtrack, because it was where I discovered that all, like, not only like the Pumpkins aren't on there, but like all that type of music.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah,
all
definitely.
The music that I listened to up until, like, I mean, still now to this day. So it was a huge, like, Rosetta Stone for my musical life, I guess.
And I'm sure a bunch of friends that have been meaning to record are going to be happy. One guy wants to do Siamese Dream, haven't scheduled it. Another buddy I was talking to over the weekend was like, I want Disintegration. I was like, okay, cool. So he lucked out there. So this came out in 94?
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
So I was 11. No, I was almost 11 by a couple of months. So how old were
10.
You?
Jeez. Yeah, I was barely 10. I was way too young to know every single word to this movie and soundtrack.
Wow.
My aunt, like, I remember one day my aunt came over and she was like, have you heard of this movie? And I was, like I said, I was 10 and I was like, not really. And she's like, it's Bruce Lee's son, but he's like a superhero, but he's goth. And I just like immediately was like, okay, can we watch it now or should we wait? Like, she puts it in and we just watched it. And it was like someone showed me what The Color Blue looked like for the first time ever. It was just like, this is a thing that's been missing in my life forever.
Nice.
For so long. And I just remember, my dad had just opened up this, like, he had like this video store, convenience store, record shop, all like Spanish themed, all Mexican foods and things like that. A little taqueria in the back. It was awesome.
Nice.
But the cool thing about it was he would like always offering to buy albums for me, like as part of a shipment. The first one he bought was Boys to Men.
The two album, first CD,
yeah,
I've ever owned. It was a classic.
That was the first, and then I remember my mom got a Michael Bolton cover album because it had Yesterday on it, and I stole it.
There you go.
So I had those, and the next thing I asked him for was the Crow soundtrack.
Nice.
And I watched the movie every day. I would listen to it every day, and I just like the Cure song on there, Burn, like, just spoke to me so hard. And I remember getting dressed every morning because he got dressed to it in the movie. I would get dressed to that song. And I remember like bending down and petting my cat because that's what he did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now we're of the same nerdy ilk. Were you aware of the comic at all beforehand or no?
Just not like, at all.
I wasn't either at that age. I doubt I would have come across that book, you know?
Like, yeah.
It just, but funny fact, I'm just looking at the sheet with this album's information on it. This Friday, as of when this is being released, because I'm putting this episode out tomorrow, Sunday, the 29th, is the 21st anniversary of this album.
Holy crap,
so it's
really?
Pretty timely.
Cool, look at me being relevant.
You did it. And I was also like, man, this is a really long album. It's over an hour long.
That's the other thing about it, is why it's weird that I chose this, is I like the first 7 songs and then the last songs, and as much as I like branched off and love this music that is the first, like, because the first 7 songs are Nine Inch Nails doing a Joy Division cover,
which is great,
which is amazing, The Cure, Stone Temple Pilots,
one of my favorite Stone Temple songs,
so good, Violent Femmes, and then I think there's, I forget what the other, there's like 2 others that are just like incredible, and then it goes to like the opposite, like the music that I would never, ever listen to.
Wait, are you including Helmet in that? Come on.
Oh, yeah,
Milk Toast
yeah.
is great. That's track 8,
no.
So it's right on the bubble.
Yeah, that is great. I love that one. But like the Pantera song and the Rollins. Oh, Rage Against the Machine was another one that was
in that first chunk. Yeah.
But like the Rollins Band, the Pantera song, the rest, I'm just like, ugh, skip. Yeah. It just does not fit.
It's like you know, it tries to set the same mood as the movie at times. And at times, I can't watch that movie all the time. I mean, it's fun, but I can't watch it, like, constantly because I'm just like, no, I can't. This, it zaps you in a way sometimes.
I don't know. Like, I get that. I've heard people say that before. But, like, maybe it's just this, this deep emptiness that is inside me. That, like, that the rain of that movie just fills the emptiness for a little bit. Like, it just makes me feel like I'm not the only one that has that.
That sounds like a lyric that would be on this soundtrack.
But what's really, like, I was thinking about it, because, like, the way that we were talking before about, like, you know, what is a favorite album, I was thinking it's the same as, for me, is, like, what is your favorite movie?
Yeah.
And it's not, like, you know, not what's the best movie I've ever seen. It's like, it's what could I watch every day for the rest of my life,
mm-hmm.
or never, ever, ever see it again. And it will still have the same impact on my life.
Yeah.
And this album, because of this album, I bought Downward Spiral, and then I bought Pretty Hate Machine. And then, like, a few years later, Fragile came out. And my cousin saw me buying all these things and was like, oh, you should listen to this band, and threw Melancholy on my lap.
Nice.
And that just opened a huge door. And then I bought Stone Temple Pilots' first album, and I bought Disintegration, and just never stopped. Never.
Now, what were you listening to before this soundtrack came out? Like, what was the main stuff you listened to?
My uncles are really into, like, Aerosmith and Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. And so I remember Big Ones was an album that I absolutely loved. The Aerosmith, like, greatest hits thing from their comeback-y thing, which is still awesome. It's like, super, super cool. But I remember having Get a Grip, that album. It was part of that, like, Big Ones.
Okay.
Had, like, a cow on the cover, and the CD had, like, nipples on it. And I thought it was, like, so cool that I had nipples on it. Whatever my parents listened to. This was kind of my, like, musical awakening. This was me for the first time being like, this is what I'm trying to say. This is
forming, like, your own identity.
Yeah.
I mean, the music you were playing at your wife's Double Dare party, which was awesome, by the way, great. Like, that playlist, I was like, hey, these are all good tunes. I like this.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
It's kind of, you know, some people would find it weird that someone would pick a soundtrack album as, like, a favorite, but there's so many soundtrack albums that, just like this one did for you, totally shaped what I listened to. Like, it was like, I've never heard of this band.
Now
I have to go find everything. Like, when Pete did Chipmunk Punk, and he's like, these are all things I love. I'm gonna go check out these bands. It's crazy.
Exactly. I mean, I even think of, like, as awful as the movies are, Batman and Robin and Batman Forever.
Great soundtracks.
Killer music on it. Like, the only U2 song I like is on that. Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me.
Yes, there you go. And it had Gotham City, R. Kelly.
Oh, God.
Kiss from a Rose is on Batman Forever. These are great songs.
The End is the Beginning is the End, and The Beginning is the End is the Beginning.
Exactly.
So it's like, it's a cool way, I found, to take something you already, or I find, something you already connect to, and expand in there. Like, for me, it was, like I said, this movie speaks to me in a way that no other movie's ever spoken to me. These songs in particular, I want to hear them more. And then that led to, like, what is this band, The Cure? And then you see the picture of Robert Smith, he just looks like a chubby sad dude. It's like, I'm a chubby sad dude. I am totally those things.
Oh, man.
And, like, boom, it's right there. And it's, like, still to this day, like, you know, because of that, I started listening to things like even all that, like, Chicago style industrial that came out of that. If you listen to
I thought you meant the band Chicago. I was like, that's a great band.
No, but, like, that whole feel, you know, like, all those things that sort of spawned off of, like, that, or, like, the Nine Inch Nails, Cure mix-up-y thing, like Stabbing Westward, which is another one of my favorite bands.
Wow. Yeah.
I remember, I shit you not, I saw the cover of Darkest Days, and I was like, oh, that looks like a Cure thing, and I bought it blind. I just bought the album. Same thing happened with Withered, Blistered, Burn, and Peel, their second album.
Okay.
I bought it without hearing it or even realizing it was them. And when I got in the car, and I was like, I love this band. But, like, those are, and Placebo.
Placebo is great.
Love it. Yeah, their last album came out on my birthday, and I was like, well, thank you. Their last album and my favorite author's newest book came out on my birthday.
What was Placebo's last album called?
Loud Like Love.
Oh, wow. I don't even think I've ever heard that
one. It's great. I'll send it to you.
Man.
It's awesome.
It's crazy because we've known each other for many years now. I don't think we've ever actually just talked about music, because mostly we get sidetracked talking about The Simpsons and other nerdy stuff, you know? Because
Yeah, well, I think that's the problem, is when you have too many things to work in.
That's very true.
Yeah, I never really talk about music much. Like, it's not a thing I... Because for me, it's tone. For me, it's all it is. It's like what I'm like, and I really get influenced by whatever I'm listening to. Like, if I'm on the train heading to work and a sad song comes on before I get to, I'm fucked for the day. Like, I am just in a corner crying.
Like, I can't do this.
Yeah. Oh man, it's bad.
Yeah. Like,
so I try to just listen to like peppy, you know.
Yeah, that's what I do. Like, when I'm working here and it's like I'm on deadline, I try to listen to like really fast stuff and just like, just to keep me going, which is awkward sometimes when the headphone jack comes out and it's just like this loud insane. I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. You didn't need to hear that, but that's what I'm listening to.
That's what's keeping me going right now.
But I will say I've enjoyed, well, we've never talked directly about music. Even when I first had the idea for this, when me and Pete were still just doing Nerd Geek Dork and I was explaining to you, you always came at me with different angles of why it worked as an idea. You were like, it doesn't have to be someone as an expert as on the album. It's all totally just relative and it works.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so cool about this thing, and like this, it's a universal thing because it's a personal thing, you know. I could have come in here and said Aqua because I got laid for the first time listening to Barbie Girl and it influenced.
Although Lollipop Girl is probably my favorite track on that album. I mean, Barbie Girl, yeah, great one, but Lollipop, dude, I'm sorry, I genuinely enjoyed that album. Same with Eiffel 65's Europop and Ace of Base. I was listening to Ace of Base all day today. I'm sorry to cut you off, but you just got me thinking about all this music. I was listening to a lot of Ace of Base today, and I was happy.
That's one of my favorite giving directions, like, sort of things to talk. Like, you're on the phone, like, okay, I see the sign. Like, okay, did it open up your eyes?
There you go.
Now, whatever you do, don't turn around, because if you do... You're going to see my heart breaking. Like, it's my favorite way to fuck with someone.
You get me to a karaoke bar, I will do the whole rap part from Don't Turn Around. Oh, man. People in your life, they don't know what's going on. Too proud to turn around. He's gone. Sorry.
But that's just it, though. That's the thing, is it leads to these, like, tangential things. I think it's awesome. I just think it's super duper cool. And I can't wait to hear, like, other people expand on, or you expand on the idea. I keep saying, let me know when you want to do a favorite movie, because I'll...
I was talking, one of my friends, she was on the show before, she hit me up with possibly doing it, and I was like, just do it.
Yeah.
I was like, you'd be great to talk about movies. I say, go for it, you know, and have fun.
Yeah, I imagine it's really cool, too, like, if someone's talking about something that you don't know anything about or don't like at all, it might, like, it's got to be cool to be in your shoes and, like, your whole, like, education on music is just expanded so much.
Oh, yeah, like, no, it's great. Like, there's sometimes some albums that I have never heard, or artists I'd never bothered to look into, and it's happened numerous times because of the show. And I'll get like a day's heads up or something. I'm like, cool, I'll listen to it once. I'm like, wow, I really like this. Yeah. Why have I never checked this out before, you know? And then it's just like, all right, more stuff added to the books, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, it's like, I was talking to my cousin about this, about the show in general. And, like, you know, as soon as you tell someone about the show, they immediately like, what would I talk about?
Yeah, that's...
And he's 15, maybe 16, and is immediately like, oh, I would totally do the first R.E.M. album.
Interesting.
And I was like, really? It's like, because all I know of R.E.M. is, you know, the hits.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, no, there's so much more than you'll ever know. And like, just started talking about all that. I'm like, I really need to get into R.E.M. apparently.
Yeah, that's how it works. It's freaking nuts. Now, like, when you were listening to this, were your friends kind of like into the same stuff, or was it just like, did you like try to introduce
them? Did I have friends?
To this?
No, that's the answer to that. I didn't really have
any
friends.
Ouch, man.
Not really, because I mean, again, I was 10.
Yeah,
I was the new kid. We just moved to Tennessee, like maybe the year before. I was like the fat Mexican kid in the like small southern town. We were like the only Spanish family. My parents just opened a restaurant, so I was like working there a lot. And I didn't really have anyone with whom I was like super close, because we didn't even live in a neighborhood. We lived like in a house. And then for the first few months, the reason I was with my aunt was like 3 days a week, we would stay at my aunt's house, and then we'd go to my grandpa's house, and it was just kind of bouncing around until we found a permanent place. But my cousin, who is like somewhere around our age, like he's just a few months around, he was really into it, and he was in Chicago. So that summer, I met all of his friends, and they were the ones, like I said, like listen to this, here's Melancholy, and it just kept on handing me music that totally opened up my eyes. And I remember my cousin played the like one little opening lick to the Snowfall Pilots song, and just thinking he was the greatest thing, and like having to go buy a guitar.
You're like, you can do that?
Yeah. Awesome. That's exactly what it was. Yeah. It's like, I heard that on the radio, and then you played it out of your thing, so yeah. I gotta go get that.
I remember a girl I worked with. I was hanging out at her apartment once, and she started playing the acoustic version of Foo Fighters' Everlong on her guitar, and I was like, I think I love you. Like, it's just like, it was like, wow, that's such a great song, and you're playing it, and whatever, man.
This is way off topic, but did I ever tell you the story about the greatest girl ever?
Jamie?
Oh, not Martinez? My wife. No, yeah, no. not my greatest girl ever. But so I was in the lobby of my old place in Brooklyn, and there was that baby grand piano there. And I walked by. My roommate had just been complaining about how he was like sick of being single, and he wanted someone with whom he could like just be done. Like, he wanted to like find the girl he was going to marry. And I'm walking through the lobby, and all of a sudden I hear bum 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 bum, and I was just like, look over, and there's this girl with a sleeve tattoo, blue hair, like just like leaning over, and she's just playing songs from Zelda. And I was just like, and I look over, and she's like, you know what's even better though? And she starts playing Zelda's Lullaby, like,
what?
Perfect. And I ran upstairs, and I'm like, you need to go downstairs right now. I just found the perfect girl ever. Go down and talk to her. And he's like, there's no way that that's the case. And I was like, she's down there playing songs from Ocarina of Time on the piano and just with her other friend. He's like, she's probably waiting for her boyfriend. Like, just go right now. So finally, I like physically drag him down to the elevator and get him down there. And she's gone.
Oh.
And so it's just like, and so then it became like, one day we're going to find you the perfect girl.
Yeah. Oh. But I feel like that's what the lobby of Castle Braid was.
Yeah.
It was just this revolving thing. Sometimes there'd be really interesting people, or sometimes there'd just be like a box of weird sweaters that you could take. You're like, okay, this is where I am, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Now, this is actually, before I ask you this question, I think you might get a kick out of this. One of my regular customers when I worked at Forbidden Planet, mm-hmm. was the in the movie The Crow, the drug addicted like mother.
Oh, Darla.
Yeah,
That's awesome.
She'd always shop in the store, and like her two sons would just come stay in the store with us and just hang out all day. So it's like, I remember,
well, she went up to the with Fun Boy, right?
Exactly. But I remember like rewatching The Crow one day. I was like, oh wait, what? And then seeing like True Romance, and I was like, holy crap, she's in all these weird movies. But like, it's like weird, like, oh, you're just someone I've come to just expect to see almost every day in my life, you know?
Yeah.
You're doing this.
That's funny. I have another one of my friends, she was in Once, and there's one of the other guys in it plays the dad, and he's just a super nice old Irish guy. He's like 2 feet tall and just looks like he's like super frail.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to my friend's husband about it, and he was just like, yeah, you know, everyone's really cool about it. They've got really close. And she's like, it's weird though, you see what people have done. Like, some people, it's their first show ever. And then he's like, and this guy, he was in this and this. And he's like, he's in a scene in The Crow. And I was like, what scene? And I was like, I'm not sure, there's like a scene that he was in. And I need to know now. So I look it up, and he's T-Bird.
Wow.
It's not like he's like in a scene. He was like, and I was just like, I don't get starstruck. I'm really good about that. But that's almost like, just thumbs up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's cool.
Like, it's like, come on, that's awesome.
I was just like, it's cool that we've been in the same bar.
There you go. Now, there's a question I usually ask people on the show, and I realize that it's kind of an interesting one when it comes to soundtracks and compilations, because usually I'll talk to people and I'll go, so this album, like, what's its significance? Like, do you still listen to it constantly? But I feel like with soundtracks and compilations, sometimes they serve a purpose of getting you to branch out, like you were saying, into new stuff. So you might not listen to it as a whole as much anymore, but the impact that's left, you know, you'll still listen to like the artists that are featured. Do you fall on one side or both sides, or?
I actually haven't, until today, I probably haven't listened to it straight through since the first time I got it. Because like I said, the other half of the album is like a divining rod of like, stay away from this. You don't like this type of music.
Gotcha.
But that first half, like, I mean, The Cure especially, every Friday, I walk into work and I start my like Cure Friday playlist. Like,
oh yeah,
they are one of my favorite bands ever. I've always like had a really close feeling with them. And I mean, I love Stone Temple Pilots. I love that. I never really got into much more Rage Against the Machine than that one song. I was in a Violent Femmes cover band in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Like it didn't last very long. And the Nine Inch Nails are another huge, I love Nine Inch Nails. Love them. But of all those, like, and even like, I mean, those two songs, Dead Souls and Burn, are the ones that I will listen to constantly. They're part of any playlist that I make. If someone asks me to be like, what is you in a playlist? Like, that
nice.
Is it. The Cure album Bloodflowers like hit me so hard at the right time. If I hadn't gone with the Crow, if I said, it was one of my like, should I do this one? Because I remember, oh God, I remember being in high school. There was this girl that I had like this super big crush on, and there's a line in Bloodflowers where he says, "It's in maybe someday. It's maybe someday I'll see you smile as you call my name." And I remember saying that like under my breath, and she heard me.
Oh.
And she goes, "Oh, honey, I always smile when I say your name." And I was like,
"Oh, when they hear you, when you say something under your breath, and you're like, no, you weren't supposed to hear. Ah, oh, crap. Oh, to be young and
yeah,
have crushes
and stupid. Yeah.
I mean, I'm the same way still. When I have crushes, I just don't know what I'm saying, or I'll like say something. And I'm like, crap. Can I take that back? Shit, I got nothing.
You're drunk enough to remember this.
Yeah, exactly. Please don't.
I do something really stupid right now.
Exactly. Oh, a funny thing. Whenever anyone mentions The Cure or Joy Division, and since both are represented on this album, is one of my best friends. Hopefully, I hope he doesn't listen to this show because I'm about to put him on blast. I'm not going to say his name. But whenever we're at a bar or something, and if he's trying to chat up a lady or something, or they're dancing in a bar, it took him years for me to correct him of this habit. But anytime Love Will Tear Us Apart was playing, I'd instantly run to wherever he was talking to this girl or dancing to this girl because I knew he was going to say it. And he'd always like lean in and go, "I love The Cure." Every single time. So it got to the point where I was like, dude, you're asking for this. I'd dance up right behind them. And I hate dancing, so you know I'm only running behind them to be an ass, and lean in and go, "But it's Joy Division," and then just like leave. You're like, that's what you get, amazing. Man. Like, so anytime someone brings up The Cure or Joy Division, I'm like, I can't.
That's so good. I have a Cure anecdote too, if you want to hear it.
Go for it.
So two of my really close friends in high school, they were a couple years younger, like a couple years under me in school, so they were still in school when I left.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all good friends, and when I left, I kind of like left that open. So they sort of, the guy of the relationship started to like really have feelings for the girl and was like being more open about it. And he was like waiting for this moment to tell her. And they spent all of their time together, like as much time we did together, but I wasn't there. So it was just the two of them. So it was weird. And they got closer and closer and closer. And he bought her tickets to see The Cure. In Nashville, which was like an hour and 15 minutes away. And they go to The Cure and they're watching it and, you know, they're dancing and it's Friday I'm in Love starts playing. It's Friday.
Ah.
Cure concert.
There you go.
So he like leans over and he's like, I feel so strongly for you.
Oh.
And she just keeps dancing. And so he's like, okay, she didn't hear me.
No.
Like, she totally didn't hear me.
Quick, build a time machine. We have to go back and stop him. We can't. I'm feeling for him right now.
So the concert keeps going on. They had a fantastic time. They get in the car. They're like talking about it. And they're like about this great experience and how fun it is. And they're about 10 minutes into the drive. And he's like, you know what? I love you. I think you're amazing. I think you're so wonderful. Like, I want to be with you in so many ways. Traffic.
Oh, I wish she should have been like, can we drive back to the concert? Because it kind of goes in line with my answer. So, yeah.
So 60 miles in traffic of awkward silence.
Oh. Oh, man. I feel for... Oh, that's just... I got nothing.
It's he called me and told me this whole story, and I was like, I mean, the same route. When she didn't acknowledge the first time,
yeah,
that was
just,
that was the polite way.
You're just like, dude, don't push it. Just leave it alone. Oh man, I don't even know when to tell someone I like them anymore. I'm just like, hopefully they'll figure it out because I'm too terrified to say it and then have them go, nah, that's cool.
I had the benefit of Jamie. I don't know if you even know the story. You know, so Jamie and I just last Thursday was 10 years to the day that we met.
Wow.
April 11th, we saw Sahara. I thought it was our first date, and she brought a date with her.
Oh, wait.
Because she thought I was gay for like the first month that I thought we were like hanging out and stuff. It wasn't until a little bit after that she realized I wasn't.
Can't wait to, you know, that's like a story at like your 40th anniversary party.
Yeah. There's so many. Like, but she was completely convinced that she had just moved to New York and she had a gay best friend and she was so happy about it. And I was like, oh,
well, thank you.
I guess.
Oh, at least we're close. I'm a best friend. That means she likes me. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I feel though I like Super Saiyan my way past the friend zone though. I like
you just worked the Dragon Ball Z reference into this episode. I applaud that. That's well right. Done. Your power levels are over 9,000. man, we're nerds. So what would you say is your... not yours, I guess. What would you say is the lasting significance? I mean, you pretty much touched on it completely. But yeah, like the significance of this album in your life. Like the lasting significance.
That's a good one. Because like I said, I mean, the easy answer is that it really helped me explore so many other things and it helped me move so much. But I just feel like such a weird ass saying this, but it's like I said before, it's like, I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one with like this darkness in me. And there's some weird happiness that comes in knowing I'm not alone. Like, I'm not the only one who feels lonely all the time. That's a comforting, nice thing. And that's what the music has always done for me. And that's like the thing that's always sort of brought forward. There's such a cold, dark angst to the music that I can see why someone would kind of be put off to it. But for me, it's kind of like it's this comforting feeling of like, hey, I know exactly what you're going through, and I made it through it long enough to write and record this.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something that's why the movie meant so much to me too, because it had that feeling, you know. And it's the cliche goes with that with the movie and everything, is it can't rain all the time. Like, it's, you're not always going to be sad. You're not always going to be feel like you're completely alone. I do too.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're together. So that has always meant so much to me. And you know, just what I think is cool too is like, you know, the album's been around for 21 years. I've had it for 21 years. I still, other than like the end part of Burn, I don't know any of the words to the song. I know the melody really well, and I know how it makes me feel, and I could draw every frame of the scene where he's getting dressed, but I don't know what he's actually saying. I just know to me what he's saying.
Interesting.
And there's also that really great feeling of putting like soundtrack in a compilation. Is it allows me to like revisit those moments. Like, it could be on a shuffle, it could be on a list somewhere, and suddenly, you know, Dead Souls comes on or whatever it is comes on, and it, I can see that moment. I can see Eric running across the rooftops, or the Stone of the Pods comes on, and I can see T-Bird's like car like forward, and those sort of things. It gives me that moment back, and then it goes, or again, it leads me back to like, okay, I can get through today. I'm good.
Nice.
So that's what it is for me. It's
interesting. Interesting. Now
that I sound like a sad whiny.
No.
You're cut
good.
Myself
you're
in
good.
The corner.
So now this question can either be one part, have one answer or two answers, mm-hmm. or one part or two part. Whatever, man. So I usually, you know, like, what would you say is your favorite track on this album? Which I think I already know what you're going to say, but go ahead.
It's the Cure song, Burn,
exactly.
For sure.
Now, the other question is, if you had to recommend one track from this album, because I have a Spotify playlist with all the recommendations.
Oh, cool.
Like, it doesn't have to be, it could be your favorite one, doesn't have to be your favorite, could be what you think would best, like, appeal to someone if you only have one track to kind of get to sell them on this. Like, hey, this is kind of like the mood of the album, this is.
Yeah.
Would you still go with Burn?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I feel like it would either be Burn, Dead Souls, or the Violent Femme song, which we haven't talked about at all.
Which is a great song.
So
I didn't even realize
good.
It was on there. When I was listening to it today, I was like, that's really good.
Yeah, that one is another one that sells the tone. It like has, I don't know if this is a common thing, but I see a lot of colors when I listen to music.
Interesting.
And you know, like, I don't know if it's something that I've just like things that I've sort of, that I'm connecting to for whatever reason, you know, if the movie, like I had a t-shirt with lyrics from Burn on it and they were written in red. So I always see like red scratchiness.
Interesting.
That, but, Carly Wants has always been purple. It's always had this black velvety purple to it, but that's the tone of the album for me, is like that sort of feeling of, it's like this, it's dark, but if you look at it in the right light, there's just a little bit of something there. That's how the song is. So
interesting.
Color Me Once, maybe, probably Burn.
Interesting. All right, well, I'll give you a couple minutes to think about that. We'll come back to that.
Yeah,
but let's
that's a tough one. That's a really tough one.
Take a break from that and let's talk about what do you do, Jesse? I like your line of work. I'm always interested in hearing what you have going on. So
thanks. I make movies. I'm an editor. I do documentaries mostly right now. I have a film actually playing at the Tribeca Film Festival coming up in a couple weeks, called Drunk, Stoned, Brilliant, Dead, the story of the National Lampoon, which is super cool, crazy, wild. And I'm directing a movie that has a beautiful, beautiful man in it named Adam Santiago.
Hey, that's me.
about toys and collectibles and the people that buy and collect and make them, and why it's important, and you know, why as a 30-year-old man, I have a Supergirl statue that no one's allowed to touch but me in my office.
That's the way it works, though. Yeah. When you asked me to do that, I was like, I'm not gonna have anything interesting to say.
Oh, you're great, man. No, you're fucking awesome.
I'm just sitting there like, okay, I don't know.
Now, even Jamie was saying, she's like, man, Adam is so pretty in this.
Aw, tell Jamie I love her. But yeah, and then Hey Bartender was all over the place too, man.
Yeah, that one was really cool. That was the last movie that I edited.
That's still on Netflix?
Still on Netflix.
Nice.
I think it's still on Showtime. I don't know. But yeah, it's about the rise of the cocktail culture and the people that the service.
Which in this neighborhood.
Yeah, geez. I mean, Sasha Petrosky has Milk and Honey 4 blocks away, and then 5 blocks away is Flatiron Lounge. But yeah, it tells the story of the craft cocktail movement and just bartending and the service industry in general, which is a humongous part of my life. My parents bought their first restaurant when I was 8,
mm-hmm.
and they had it. I mean, that's why we left Illinois to move to Tennessee, was so that they could have that restaurant. And the restaurant was more home to me than my house was. And I feel more at home. Like the smell of a kitchen has more like sense memory to a home. And the smell of garlic on your fingers takes me to my dad like immediately, than anything else in the world. So that movie was really personal, and I was really fortunate to get to be a part of that. And I'm really proud of what I was able to bring to that.
That's awesome, man.
But yeah, it's on Netflix right now. And then Lampoon will be coming. I think I don't have official words, so I can't be held responsible. But I think once we kind of get through a lot of this festival stuff, Lampoon should be hitting like this fall. We should be getting some theaters.
And I mean, the subject matter you're doing is just great. I mean,
dude,
cocktails.
Yeah.
National Lampoon, which is just amazing in of itself, you know. And toys. Come on. Who doesn't have toys?
that's what's really cool about it though, is like I, you know, as one of the editors in the film, we had 854 hours of footage.
Wow.
For Hey Bartender.
That's crazy.
So it was my job to go through all the footage.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, obviously the other editor, he went through a lot of it, and the director was there for probably 90% of it at the very least. But I mean, I had to go. That was my first job.
Yeah.
On the movie was going through every frame of footage. So I had like this master class of mixology and the service industry and everything just by making this movie. I had the greatest bartenders in the world talking about what it meant to make these flavors, and more importantly, what it meant to serve that drink to someone and how important it was to them to have that. So I left that movie, one, feeling like this deep pride for where I come from and for what my parents did and would still do if they could.
Yeah.
And also like, I can make a fucking drink like nobody's business.
There you go.
I'm a huge snob about it now too. So I went from that.
And movie then, changed you for the worse.
Yeah,
used to be such an easygoing friend.
I always joke that I like my cocktails fancy and my beer shitty, man. Like,
there you
give
go.
Me a Miller yeah. High Life or
hey,
you know a bourbon old fashioned.
I just got into an argument with my like 23-year-old roommate the other like Saturday night. He started shitting on High Life, and I was like, don't you shit on High Life ever.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
I could drink a High Life from sun up to sundown and be totally fine. Like,
yeah.
Having a great time the entire time. Like, I don't need some super hoppy pun for a name, you know?
Yeah.
No. Like,
I mean, I'll drink it.
I'll totally
but I still
take
also
it.
Enjoy my yeah. High Life. It's cool.
But I'd almost rather have, you know, some ridiculous 1896 recipe for Manhattan Variation or something like that. That's more
yeah,
my style.
There you go. Now. There you go.
But yeah, so I went from that. And then with Lampoon, so I had, you know, this master class in service and mixology. And then Lampoon, it's like everyone who made what we know is comedy, like
yeah.
They created it.
It all came from there. Yeah. It's amazing. I'm so jealous.
So then I just get to hear funny people talk about what it means to be funny.
Yeah.
And like, so now I just, one more. If I do like a Pumping Iron sequel, it's gonna be the best.
Dude, if you don't get me started on that. Did I ever tell you when I wanted to do an Arnold Schwarzenegger podcast? Me and my buddy Joe, who
get
I think
the
you met, Joe, who worked at DC.
Oh
Joe
yeah, Hughes, yeah, yeah.
We wanted to do a chronological all
we
of
talked about this,
Arnold
yeah.
Schwarzenegger's movies, and it was called There Is No Bathroom. We only recorded one episode, and then we just got so sidetracked with life. But we did one episode about Hercules in New York.
Yes.
And it was just like, this is weird.
That is awesome.
It would have been fun to go through, because I do love me some Arnold Schwarzenegger. his autobiography, it's amazing. It's so worth reading. It's well done.
I hope they wrote it phonetically. Like, you just dictated it.
Oh, it's so good. Now, to swing it back to this, what, if any, final words or would you say to someone who's maybe on the fence of maybe checking this out, like even if it's just like, hey, this is a collection is great, or hey, if you're looking for some good like a sample of good music out there, blah blah blah, like what would you say?
Wait for a rainy day, like a nice dreary rainy day, and just let the first 7-8 songs play. And only the last 5 or 6.
Which is amazing that, you know, some people say there's a weak track on the album or but you're like, there's almost half of it is not my, but it's still one of my favorite albums, because that's how powerful of an effect it had on you, that it had, that's quite a testament.
Yeah, and that's what's really weird about it. That was what got me, well, that's what I think about it all day, like how weird it is that I really just don't like half of it. And I mean, what's kind of cool about it though is it's also nice to be able to be like, I don't really like it, but maybe somebody's gonna find what I found in these first 8 tracks in these last like 7 tracks.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing better than a rainy day in that, and those first like few songs, because it has just like it's relaxed, it's a little dark, it's a little dreary, but there's like a bit of a light somewhere in there. And
there you go.
So
yeah.
Sad, lonely, rainy day. Make it happen. It'll be cool.
Well, now I'm going to bring you back to the question I let hang for a bit. What track, if you could only pick one?
Man.
Yeah,
man.
It's a tough one.
I can only pick one.
Only one.
Not the first 7. I think I'm going to feel safe, but I'm going to burn.
Burn by the Cure.
The first one. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it just, I mean, it even starts with bird sounds. Like, it just, it just does. And it to me, you know, there's this really cool little breakdown part where like there's just like guitar playing like a little simple riff. That part is the whole movie. Like, that's what the movie sounds like to me. So,
all right.
Yeah, that's what I'll go with.
I'll give you that. Dude, thanks for being on the show. I know I've been talking about this with you from the start, and
yeah,
it's just a matter of like scheduling things, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to do it. Thanks.
Yeah,
man.
You've been on half of the shows on the Shampoo Poo Network, which we've never launched.
That's,
I need to talk to Pete
the
about
coolest,
launching
awesome.
That.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we've had Pete said the Shampoo Poo name for like 15 years now. But yeah, because you've done this, you've done Star Wars Minute.
Yeah.
If we ever do another Nerd Geek Dork, we got to get you on.
Well, when you do this, like you guys joked about a Simpsons alphabetical type thing, and I was like, halfway through my text, like, I better be fucking on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, I would, yeah, that would be fun. Or just a Nerd Geek Dork Futurama episode.
Oh, man.
And then,
I have a friend, sorry, you just reminded me, this is way, way, way tangential, but I have a friend who's a physicist. He's a PhD in applied mathematics from Columbia. And he's a very quiet, very reserved guy, and he's a really subtle sense of humor. And we were talking about Futurama, and I was like, yeah, I really like the show. And he was like, oh, you'd like it more if you were me.
Oh, yeah.
And I was that's the most amazing arrogant thing I'd ever heard.
Although that makes me insanely jealous that he gets some of those jokes. I'm like, okay, fine. You win, man. No, that... Wow. Yeah, I might need to go to college just for like the next 10 years and then just rewatch Futurama. Speaking of which, after this is done recording, I got to show you something regarding Futurama. That's amazing.
Awesome.
But yeah, thanks for coming and nerding out, man.
Dude, let me anytime. Thanks, yeah. A lot of fun.
And then we can go say hi to Star Wars Minute's actually recording like 10 feet away. They're using my normal recording spot, so we can go say hi to them, see if they're still recording.
To now.
Exactly. Nice. But yeah, I want to thank Jesse for being on the show. Like he said, Burn by The Cure. I'm going to add that to the Spotify playlist. You can find that on the site, which is yourfavoritealbum.com. Also, we're all over that social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Tumblr. And then all those other like podcast directories, like Stitcher, all that stuff. So yeah, like us on Facebook. Comment on iTunes. You know, do me a favor. Help me out. Right?
Yeah. It's super easy. I should do that.
Exactly. Yeah, man. Thanks. But yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode with someone else talking about their favorite album. But until then, have a good one. Be sure to come back. I'm probably forgetting something. I don't know. but until then, have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Woo.